Hey everyone, I'm Madonna and this is David.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about yoga values today. So, the values of yoga.
Well, yoga's become really popular, obviously. It's and in counseling,
Well, there's
it's
lots of shopping involved in yoga, so girls love it.
well,
That's a joke.
nothing wrong with shopping.
But part of the reason why we were thinking about this is that we've talked many times about the fact that empathy seems to be declining on the planet.
Well, statistically.
And people
And
are so
after that,
divided.
increasing.
Yeah. And the division that's happening, which, of course, as we've talked about before, it's often pushed by, governments and social media and
Polarization, yeah.
polarization.
I mean that always exists, polarization, because even if you take something like male and female, there'll always be a bit of a argy-bargy trying to get a balance, right? And what's fair for both genders, say, both sexes. And then sometimes you'll get a movement that comes to correct, right? And so what this is, what we're going to look at today, it's out of the Yoga Sutra, which is Yoga Sutra is like the most basic yoga teaching, and I think it's probably maybe 1200 years old by the sage Patanjali. And this is one verse out of it. And the reason that what I find interesting that yoga's become very popular, and in they found in counseling and psychology that yoga is very well applied, especially for things like post-traumatic stress disorder and complex childhood issues. Yoga is something that can help people self-regulate, whereas previously some people had to go to hospital, say. But yoga is able to hold people up, and there's a lot of trauma-informed yoga online, and a lot of people go to classes. Like a lot of people I know now that didn't used to be interested at all, now they're doing yoga. And there's so, but what the lacking is, like when I learned yoga, I got a lot of theory. I had a very theoretical yoga teacher, and we used to spend time talking about the theoretical aspects, even maybe more so than the physical work sometimes.
How often are you doing yoga these days?
I do yoga a few times a week, for maintenance. And I don't do it for a long time.
But from the perspective of these being really lovely, we're sort of the Sanskrit isn't that important for anyone, but the meanings are about friendliness, compassion, joy and appreciation, and equanimity. And I think, that's the good thing about being a practitioner. You never know what someone in front of you is going to say. So I've had narcissists in my clinic. I've had people who've been abused in many ways in my clinic. I've had people who are the abusers in my clinic. And you have to take off every bit of judgment when you're doing that, because otherwise you can't help anyone.
So
And
be somehow neutral.
one of the biggest things that we learn in naturopathic counseling is that everyone has a backstory. And of course, obviously, the same with holistic counseling. But you never, ever, ever know what someone's history is until you start going through it. And sometimes they have suppressed some of their history as well. So they don't know why
Sure.
they're doing what they're doing.
And often, if it happened in childhood, they may not have been told what actually happened. They'll be told a story about what happened that's not very accurate. There's a fair bit of that. And then it's hard to work out what's wrong.
So just going through each of them really briefly, sort of one of them's called Maitri. So it's the friendliness towards the happy.
So the basic outline of the verse. It's in Sanskrit. It goes like Maitri Karuna Mudita Upekshanam Sukha Dukkha Punya Apunya Vishyanam Bhavatya Chitya Prasadanam. And it's basically what it's saying is that it's saying there's four dispositions that we can take in social life, and that's friendliness towards joyful and happy people, like people who are fairly equipoised and balanced. And then that's called Maitri. And then you've got Karuna, which is compassion, kindness towards those who need support and who are suffering. And then you've got mudita, which is joy and appreciation, sharing in other people's achievements and successes. That's mudita. And then you've got upeksha, which means slight indifference to those who are immoral or evil people. But it's called a benevolent indifference, is that it's not like aggression or to get them. It's just like, don't go there type of thing. And of course,
Unfortunately, the don't go there thing allows evil to happen, so I don't agree with that one, but anyway, that's
well,
just
no,
me.
because it means indifference. Indifference means not to get involved
No,
with
but
that
people
person.
need to get involved,
Well, okay.
otherwise stuff happens.
Well, anyway, but this is for social life, and the goal, it's got a goal, is to attain joyfulness. And so we were, and because especially the ones in the middle, karuna and mudita, which is having compassion for others and celebrating other people's joys, those two cause a type of lasting peacefulness. Like not the type, and a type of happiness that isn't like what you get from when you're enjoying something. You know, when you enjoy something, like you enjoy a drug or a food or something, you know, you do the thing and it's like that. Whereas these create a more of a like a stable type of joyfulness. So by celebrating the joy of others, 'cause, and when you look at things like what everyone talks about these days, narcissism, which is on the increase, what's happening is especially those two, the career, the compassion, the
And the joy
some,
and appreciation.
yeah, those two, the narcissist, it says in the literature, they'll not have compassion. They'll be indifferent. Oh, you always
But
complain,
do
or
they pretend to
all
have
sorts.
compassion? Because I've heard a lot of narcissists have that really personality that everyone enjoys anyway. You know, they really put their best foot forward out in public,
Well, that's the
so no
grandiose,
one would.
narcissist, but which is like that high-pitched narcissist, you know, like and but then there's the covert narcissist, which are manipulative. And the thing is that they've always got often compassion for their own group, and it's that the compassion doesn't go over the wall of their own group, and that happens in narcissistic family systems, right? Except for the scapegoat, you know, they don't get compassion or karuna, but it's one of the techniques that whether they're doing it intentionally or because it's biological, they're less likely to have compassion, especially for the other side of their group. And they also won't celebrate the joys of others. If someone says, "Oh, this great thing happened to me," they'll like minimalize that instead of celebrate with them. And because the society we're living in is more polarized than usual, it seems to be these days, the divide between men and women and left and right, people are becoming a lot stronger in their opinions, and so that it's more likely that we'll just ignore the suffering of someone on the other side of the fence and put them down if they're celebrating something. And that's on all sides of the poles. And then also to achieve a goal, we might get involved with someone who's a bit evil. Do you know what I mean? Like just say, do you know what I mean? To counter the other side. Or we might indulge in some things that we wouldn't normally do because we're on a polarized edge of something. And you can see that in some things like because another thing is sometimes those things will be removed slightly if you're trying to rebalance something. Like for example, some things like in the progress of something like feminism, you see, because we came out of a more of a male chauvinist society when that happened, that to make the adjustment, you had to be a little bit more indifferent to men and a bit more celebratory to women. And we saw in the early feminism that's what was happening. But that was a good thing to bring back the balance. And once the balance has come back, it should be back. Let's celebrate everyone's joy and have compassion for men and women equally, right? When the balance occurs. But we see with polarization, sometimes those things become somewhat permanent, more permanent than they should be after the goal's achieved. But you can see in politics, sometimes they'll do it like, because you look at the American politics a bit. And so sometimes to achieve a goal, you have to not be as compassionate to something as you were before. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes to make an adjustment, like on a political level, you have to like put something down to make something work. In other words, you have to take something off to put something new in. So, you know, it's like a bit of a matrix.
Matrix, all right.
Matrix. Yeah, anyway, but that's the basic understanding, and it's about getting balance in your life as usual from a holistic point of view.
Well, I had a lady yesterday, and she's quite politically connected and switched on. And she said to me that sometimes she just needs to have a complete social reset, you know, where she just doesn't go online, she doesn't look at anything, she really works hard not to, you know, so that she can just reground. And But because I've got damaged humans that I'm seeing every day in my clinic, I don't get the luxury to take a week off learning about things and finding
Right.
new solutions and stuff. So it's a little bit different when you've got these people coming in,
Right.
on a daily
Well,
basis,
it's recommended
sort
to
of thing.
take a break from the internet these days anyway.
Yeah.
Only
Well,
because,
easier said than done. But yeah.
well, it's often because what people are consuming is negative. Like I'm really positive about the internet because as far as I can tell, if you what you consume on the internet, if it's really positive, it's going to be a really positive thing.
Yeah.
The problem with it is what we're consuming. We do have a choice in what we type in.
Yeah.
Or
You do have a choice. Yeah.
we could just follow the news feed and the AI recommendations we're given.
Yeah, they know what we want.
Well, they
Yeah.
get it right some a fair bit of the time, actually.
It's always a bit scary when something you're thinking actually shows up in your feed and you go, did I say that one out loud?
No, and then you get mad for it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so, and how have you integrated these into your life?
Well, I'm looking at them from a theoretical point of view. I've been studying this verse for a month or two, just going through it to
Yeah.
see what how it applies to modern life. Because what I find interesting about something like this one's very much in tune with modern psychology.
Right.
Like I'm interested in putting the yoga in with the psych,
Yes.
because there's some ancient things like because like because yoga is a lot of more Chinese stuff.
Yep.
Like with meridians and chi and that type of thing.
Yep.
And so yoga achieves the same thing. It's about getting the energy flowing through your body more equally.
Yeah.
And so for me, just learning it is a really nice thing and, sort of getting deep into what it really means. And of course, the outcome is you get a type of joyfulness just by like balancing like that.
Yeah, so we'll actually just go through these really quickly and then we'll finish up. So the first one, so I've just got this sharing with everyone now. So maybe
Right.
the friendliness towards the happy. So the essence of it, cultivating genuine goodwill towards those who are joyful or successful. And like even it's funny, it's easy to be envious, isn't it, when someone else has got something going on that
Well,
we don't
I
have.
didn't think of that. Good point.
But yeah, it's the whole tall poppy syndrome, we call it here in
I didn't think
Australia.
of
So when
that.
someone's doing well and everyone else gets,
Yeah,
they
right.
want to
They do,
pull
don't
people
they?
down,
Right. So there it is. That's where the type of corrections that can happen with it.
And like even this crazy stuff going on at the moment where there's this whole government private partnership going on where the billionaires are coming in and they're, doing all the net zero stuff and everything. They're making masses of money and it's the taxpayers who pay for it. And it's going to bankrupt countries all around the world. And yet the billionaires are going to get richer and richer. So yeah, I'm a bit jealous of them doing something stupid that's going to screw with my country for the next million years. How are we ever going to get over all this stuff? But anyway, that's just the sort of like that's where I go when I think, well, joyful or successful, but I doubt these humans are very joyful.
Well,
I can't imagine a lot of people out there screwing the world over. I can't imagine they are being nice human beings.
right. Well, the thing is about this, it's an individual thing.
Yeah.
So it's something you do as an individual. And so whatever the groups around us do, at least we can do this for ourselves. And so, what does it
But I do
get?
like it. Friendliness towards the
I
happy.
mean, it's a really good thing. And what does it say? Because they're seeing this screen. Celebrate others' joy as if it was our own. Because the thing is that these are vicarious. I had a really good lecturer at uni, and he'd spent a lot of time in India, and he was pointing out that empathy, which is compassion and mudita particularly, is that it's actually a vicarious experience. Just like what's another example of vicarious? Vicarious is that if you see a traumatic situation, or even if you're a therapist, if you're a therapist and you're treating trauma patients all the time,
Yeah.
you might end up with post-traumatic stress
Yeah.
disorder, as and that's vicarious. But these are vicarious in the positive way,
Yeah.
and so by and so so friendly towards the compassionate. It's like when because when you share that good those good feelings with other people, like it says in there, you get them as well.
Yeah.
That's vicarious.
Yeah.
And that's a really nice goal. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
And you do it with your kids especially.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did it. It's like that's a
Well,
really
some people do.
some people
Some
do.
people never get a single thing from their parents, so some
No, they're
parents are
really
very damaged.
very hard on
You
them.
know, and which brings us to number two, karuna, the compassion towards the suffering. I used to tell my receptionists in my big clinic, you never know what someone's been through on the day. So we would have these clients come in who were cranky as anything. They'd be buying supplements, and the receptionist would bitch about them afterwards. And I'd say, you don't know what that level of pain does to something. You don't know what it does when you've had to have that level of operations, or that level of pharmaceutical damage, or that level of trauma going on in
Especially
someone's
over
home.
time.
Yeah, exactly. And they're coming in and they're getting through the day. For them to actually walk into the clinic and buy things is sometimes like a whole day affair for some of these people. So, compassion towards the suffering, I used to, really talk to my practitioners and receptionists about
Right,
it.
because there's what we all do as therapists. It's
Yeah.
something that we get to do.
Yeah, exactly. So we lean in with kindness, not pity, and listen deeply, because these people have often, as you've talked about before, there's that real carer's fatigue. So they've often not had someone who is close to them listen for a long time because everyone's so,
Well, they have, but they've
they're
become shut off,
exhausted. Yeah, they're
which
exhausted.
is natural. It's not, that's not
No,
unempathetic
and it, no, and it's
to be
not a
exhausted.
criticism when people get to that point. I totally get it. You know, I have people come in with whoever they're caring for, and they sort of roll their eyes, when they're, they've, get people, mothers and daughters or grandmothers, and anyway, it's all, and you often see their look from one of them who's just over the other one. And they're just wanting a little empathy from me, in the fact that they're in that carer role and they're exhausted. And I do get it. I totally get it. But it aligns with trauma-informed care and emotional intelligence. So meeting people where they are.
Right. Well, one thing about that is that where that one gets cut off is that in the studies they did about compassion and empathy, they found in polarized societies which were easy to look at, like in South Africa where there was apartheid, it was real easy to see that with those two groups, the black or the white people, the compassion didn't go past the border.
Right.
So it's only compassion for your own group. And that's another mistake of it too. Because in growth we can get our compassion more and more universal.
Right.
Because if we only like our own group, it's kind of technically not compassion, it's more of a
Yeah.
bias, because
Yeah, absolutely. So
because
then the
when things are
third,
polarized.
yeah. So then the third one is mudita, joy towards the virtuous. So the essence of it, feeling uplifted by the goodness and integrity of others. I think we've chatted before, there's frequencies of different emotions and states of being, and being, having integrity is one of the highest frequencies. It's higher than love. So, be having that integrity within your soul for who you are and what you are doing, and living towards that is really, it's a high frequency.
Well, what with someone like Goethe, he'd say, by appreciating the goodness in others, we get it in ourselves. He was a
Right.
German philosopher. But that's the same as that. And actually, the more we do that, the more we honor the virtue above us. In the more enlightened people, they enlighten us. We actually, because enlightenment, we only really get enlightened by other people, and it's who we choose to enlighten us that
Yeah.
composes the composition of our enlightenment and the frequency.
Interesting.
Because we can choose enlightened people, but we choose,
Yeah, it teaches us to honor virtue and let us inspire us.
and that's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, admiring someone's moral courage or wisdom without needing to compare, let their light illuminate your path. The amount of people I've met in the last 5 years who have just had to turn to their own integrity because they weren't able to do what they were,
So there's two parts of it. A, you can honor that up,
Yeah.
where you see it, but also you can help people under up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When they show their virtuousness, you go, yeah, really good.
And sometimes they don't recognize it in themselves.
Well, because people aren't looking,
Yeah.
people haven't been trained.
Yeah. And they're still exhausting. It's like a spiritual admiration, celebrating others' growth as a mirror for your own potential, which is exactly what you were just saying.
They're pretty nice.
Yeah. Then how do you say that? Upeksa,
Well, picture.
equanimity towards the non-virtuous, so maintaining inner balance when faced with negativity or wrongdoing. Okay, so this is my weak one.
Yeah, let's read it because
So why it matters?
it's interesting because I looked it up earlier when I was at home And it used the word equanimity too on Google, not this. And I'm like, okay, why do they use that word? I don't even, not sure what it
Yeah,
means.
so the essence of it, maintaining inner balance when faced with negativity or wrongdoing, why it matters. Reactivity to others' faults can disturb your peace. Upeksa is not indifference, it's wise detachment. And the practice, observing without judgment, recognizing that everyone is on a path and some are still learning. In the modern parallel, this echoes mindfulness and stoicism, responding with clarity and not emotional entanglement.
Yeah, because when we, because getting in family therapy, getting too close to someone is kind of, they call it enmeshment.
Yeah.
And that's how you get enmeshed in other people's stuff. Whereas if you're just a bit distance and try to like see it as, because sometimes you have to seek justice, but this is for general life,
Yeah.
because everyone makes mistakes. So you're dealing with this all the time.
Yeah.
And people are a bit mean sometimes too when they're in a bad mood, which might be another reason.
Yeah.
With good people too.
Yeah, I had a guy in this week who he'd sent a friend of his who was a doctor who was fourth stage, blah, 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 and on his way out. And he came to see me, and I made sure I sticked with the most clear science with supplements that I recommended. And he returned them all within like 48 hours, wrote me this big scathing letter about, saying things were scientific that weren't. And he'd gone home and Googled the supplements that I had prescribed him.
So he would have got it right then.
No. Oh, you're being funny. Google hates natural therapies.
Oh no, I looked at
Google.
that. What,
If
because
you're no, if you're a doctor and you're looking things up and you are coming from that lens of natural medicine sucks, that's what you're going to see.
well, the new Google, what did they call it? AI
Well, that
prompt.
didn't exist 10 years ago when this guy saw me.
Well, I tell you,
Anyway, I found.
I just look up a lot of natural therapy with that, and it's really positive and it's accurate.
Yeah, but it's positive for you because of what you're looking
Oh,
up.
okay.
It absolutely will mirror what people are going through as well.
Well, nearly all naturopaths have got pretty sound studies behind them.
Yeah,
So to them,
absolutely.
so when people go, there's no studies behind that, you really have to wonder about the
Oh,
people.
no, but my AI regularly tells lies about Big Pharma as well, and then I have to remind it of studies with, 99 billion,
No,
million and 18
but
million
an
and things like
example
that.
of that's in this verse, right? Like, because a study to actually cure something, there should be a shared joy in that,
Yeah.
not a criticism,
Yeah.
right? There should be shared joy in that, and we're wrong in ourselves when we don't share the joy
Well, this is why I'm looking forward to
on one
September.
side.
I think people deserve to know, and this is what I'm like personally, I'm liking about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is that the fact that he's making science open source now, so that anything that's paid by the American public should be all the studies, whether they've, prove the thesis or not, they need to be out there so that people know what.
Well, they made studies so expensive that you could only get five things through a year.
Yeah.
And but there's a lot of stuff that people say aren't valid, and you know
Yeah.
it's valid. You know through experience.
Yes,
And
yes.
but there are studies, they're just not, I don't
Yeah.
know. I don't know which studies they say, right? Because I read a lot of studies, and because I've been learning about natural, there's studies on everything.
Oh, absolutely.
But yet still, by not having compassion properly and not practicing these things, that would be how you'd not understand that,
Yes.
right?
Yeah.
Because if you're really thoughtful, you'd validate what was said.
Yeah. Well, it's like things like coffee, for example. I'm pro coffee because I like it and I'm not going to stop having it. But there are just as many studies on coffee being good for us as coffee being against it. But you have to always ask the question, who's funding the study? So just say it's a tea company that wants you to buy more tea. They might fund studies against coffee and only share what is negative about it. So they might actually choose a bunch of people with anxiety and see how coffee goes rather than a random group of people. So it's easy to skew studies and
On
people.
either side.
And this is where, and this is where, again, what I love about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's talking about studies. They need to be open source. People need to know the mechanisms of the study. And then people need to go out there and do their own science, see whether they can replicate it or not. That's real science.
Well, if there's a study already done, it shouldn't need to be replicated. And
No,
most studies are available
that is
online.
wrong. So, did you know that on average, for a doctor to change his paradigm about something, there have to be at least 2,000 double-blind placebo studies before it makes its way through in
But no one can
medical.
afford that.
Exactly. And it, on average, it takes 20 years. And that's why it takes so long to get doctors to turn around
Well,
in relation to their
that already
knowledge.
doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's what has been happening. And it's because the status quo suits them. The status quo makes them lots of money. So
Probably
why would you
makes
bother?
some people a little bit behind in their understanding.
Well, obviously, you know, so you still have doctors that today saying things that just have been disproven for a long time because they have, you know, like I just had someone this week who went to their, they'd had an operation in the anesthetics, you know, Bibles. It talks about how anesthetics bind with B12. So she had the B12 I'd prescribed her. She was at her doctor. She's saying, I'm taking 4 grams of B12 to pull out the anesthetic. He told her to throw it in the bin, which is just stupid. And she was able to give the information that I'd given her, and he still denied it. You know, so it's really interesting. It doesn't seem to matter whether it's in their Bibles, whether it is in, you know,
Well, that's
whether
it.
there's,
Well, that's
they
it.
don't care
But that's in
a lot of the
people's
time.
biases.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
but everyone's full of biases. And so like look at religion.
Yeah.
Like people grow up, people are born in a certain country and they get taught a certain doctrine. And then they grow up and say, mine's right and all the other people are bad with some doctrines. And you kind of just wonder about that. You go, oh, so is God like has a geographical plan for everyone? And it seems that whereas you mature and you look at all the different, you make comparative study and have a look,
Yeah.
see what's there.
But you've always been a huge, huge reader and learner too.
Well, Carl Jung said that. Carl Jung said he had two things he really loved. One was the empiric. Certain nature of science, and
Yep.
then the other thing he said he was interested was in comparative study,
Yeah.
because they're the two things. Like you want the accuracy of science, but then you want the comparative understanding of how things really work in reality.
Yeah. So I think these are re for really nice things, you know, that people can focus on and have within their life, you know, so, or at least be more aware of. So friendliness
So
towards the happy,
in
compassionate
relationships.
towards the suffering, joy toward. But if it happens in relationships, it may end up happening more globally in
Oh,
our
yeah, no,
world as
beautiful.
well.
Yeah,
So, you know,
that's right.
and when I'm hearing this, I'm thinking politically. That's
That's right.
100%
That's right.
of
So
me is thinking
here we go.
politically.
And because I view things in family systems, in family therapy, we don't consider individuals. The
Yeah.
smallest unit is the family system.
Yeah.
And because that works like that, anything that you pull through that family system lens can be for a family, it can be for a group, a political group,
Yeah.
a gendered group. It can be for anybody that's a group, because the same group
Yeah.
dynamics work in families as they do on the outside. But they are beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah, they are really lovely.
And so it's a really nice thing to go through. Yoga Sutra 133.
Okay.
And you can look it up. Now, my little takeaway from this is that, so I'm going through this, I was looking at it yesterday or the day before, and I was thinking, oh, right. What if you write these to yourself? Because a lot of problem people have with their own inner self-talk and their
Yep.
own inner judgment.
Yeah, right.
Now think about applying these things to yourself, right? Did you just look that up?
I did.
Are you sharing that?
Oh, not yet.
Oh, because that'll be a really
It
nice.
literally just arrived.
So that's like a so friendliness towards the happy parts of
But we do have
ourselves.
to finish up.
Right,
So, yeah.
friendliness towards the happy part of ourselves,
Yeah.
right? Which we don't, de I definitely don't do that all the time. Compassion to our own suffering, right? Joy towards our virtuous qualities, and equanimity or balance or indifference
Or
towards,
peace. Yeah, having peace
yeah,
towards and
towards
not
our own
being.
non-virtual, towards our errors and our thing. So because I was meditating on this last night, and I went, right, applying it to the self is a really nice thing.
Yeah, beautiful.
So we can do it to ourselves, we can do it within our family unit, within our political system, and it's a really nice worldview to have too, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's just that yoga is becoming so popular in what people are actually doing. It's nice to get into some of the theory of it,
Yeah.
because it's really beautiful and it's old too. Funny, this is really old. This was written, I don't know when he wrote it. It was between 200 and 500 AD,
Oh, yeah.
so thousands of years, thousand more than 1,000 years old when it
Cool.
was written.
Awesome. Hope that was helpful and you got something out of that. See you later, everyone. Good one,
Okay, love
David.
you all.
Have a good one.